There are seven messages each year that I preach, whether you like it or not. And I don't plan when to teach them. I mean, obviously, you don't have to study very hard because I taught on them so often. Normally, when I choose to speak on one of these seven messages, it's when I've already prepared something else. As was the case today. I mean, what a waste. God has no sense of how much time I spent preparing another message. It has to be laid aside today. And as is usually the case, I decide to speak on these messages while I'm sitting on this platform, knowing that most of the audience has already heard the message in some form or other at least 17 times previous. When I have a little bit of mental wrestling match with the Lord, when I start feeling impetus that what I prepared is not as wonderful as I thought it was, God has something else in mind that I've already done. Refried beans. You're a restaurateur. I prepared a gourmet dinner today. My birthday, I said, I'm going to really feed them something new today. I'm going to surprise that know-it-all crowd of mine. And I had a gourmet dinner prepared. And God said, refried text. Deuteronomy 33. So, here it comes. Deuteronomy 33. It's been less than a year since I covered this passage, but it's one of those that I revisit every year. One of the messages that is aimed like a rifle bullet to individuals. You either need it or you don't. You'll absorb it or you won't. But if you do, the rest of the year, you'll be able to steer through it a little better. It's the Song of Asher and the Song of Moses, giving the blessings from Moses to all the tribes. This one, Asher. 2 Corinthians 1:20, as I've told you many times, is our fishing license for every promise in the book. All the promises of God in Him are what? Yea. And what?
Amen.
All the promises of God in him are yea. I'm going to read it exact. For all the promises of God in him are yea. That's yes. And in him amen. So be it unto you. If you are practicing faith, you are in him. Because Romans 8 says, when he's in us, we're in him, and Christ is formed in your heart by faith. So every single Christian that has Christ, that miraculous work of indwelt spiritual deposit from God in response to our faith, which is the technical definition of being born again, you're in him if he's in you. And if he's not in you, there's no place for you in the kingdom. Apart from him, you can do nothing at all. So in him, all these promises to those of us just qualified are yes and amen. So I can claim it. Whatever God said to these people, unless limited by the specific mind. So what did he say to them? Of Asher, he said, verse 24. Verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Shoes, iron, brass. What are shoes for? Anybody eat with shoes? Anybody drink with shoes? Anybody with shoes? I ain't gonna make the mistake I made last time. Nos comprendemos? Shoes are for walking. For people that are going somewhere. People on the move. You can ruin the congregation without shoes. You can sit and lay before the Lord without shoes. But akin to all the teaching of Christianity, symbolized in the journey of the oracle people of God who were called out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, Christianity can only be analogized to a journey. Paul, Peter, John, the great epistle writers, make it clear. We are pilgrims on a journey, runners in a race, warriors in a battle, citizens of the heavenly kingdom, aliens down here, on a journey. Progress built into the Christian way. Indeed, it was called the way. No stopping. No settling. No fixed position of spiritual comfort, the apex of which you can reach and sit there on and watch the rest of the Christian world. Or hope they'll watch you in your perfection. It is constantly being on the move. Progress. Let us go on. The Hebrews letter says, leaving therefore the doctrines of the principles of Christ, let us go on unto completion. The word based on that Greek root tell which is to bring to a completion. You cannot take today's spiritual experience and write checks on it tomorrow. It's a constant, constant moving forward. It's being emptied, as the Old Testament passage has it, from vessel to vessel. One people were cursed as not having been emptied from vessel to vessel. Therefore, their lease, the sediment left in the winemaking process, their lease, they'd settled on their lease, and their smell was still in them, and their taste was not good because they hadn't been emptied from vessel to vessel. How many know that within the past year, God saw you through something and you came to a momentary time of victory? Let me see your hand. How many wish the moment had remained? How many have found yourself in an all bleeped up position since then? Why couldn't you just stay in that wonderful position and not be facing what you're facing today? If nothing else is said in this verse, which is the prelude to the promises to come, iron and brass shoes means it's a tough trip. Anybody that's telling you different about Christianity is just bleeping on your brain. Have you ever heard the strong altar call appeals that if you'll just come down that aisle and kneel down here, everything from now on will have a rosy glow? Everything from now on is going to be good, wonderful, sweet, and harmonious. All you got to do is walk 50 feet and heaven on earth arrives. You ever heard that? Bull's Kabbalah. At least I've told you, you make the commitment to be a Christian, welcome to the inferno. That's kind of a weak clap. What's the matter with you? You're moving out of a prison camp of Satan, who holds this world in his grip, toward a heavenly home. You want to see the warden and the guards in the prison get active, let somebody get out the gate. They don't even do it in the movies. You ever seen a warden and the guards catching a guy in the woods and holding the bloodhounds back and saying, "We just wanted to come tell you how wonderful it is that you've got out"? Christianity makes you a target. Commitment to principles eternal disturbs the children of darkness, who love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. Nobody's being honest with you that doesn't tell you you make a commitment to turn around in the stream of time and march to an eternal drumbeat and put your heart hurled off into eternity and get a proper viewpoint that we are aliens down here and citizens of a heavenly kingdom and children of a heavenly Father, that's going to rouse the crowd. Because as Reinhold Niebuhr said, we're not willing just to be sinners. That's an existential state of fact. We have to convince ourselves that our sin is not really sin after all. You're not of the world when you become a Christian, because I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Cosmos is the word in the Greek. It's a frame of reference that rationalizes their self-serving ways. And Isaiah summed up all sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. You start living the way, God's way, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest of hell in opposition around you. It's a tough trip. If your Christianity and your commitment to God hasn't made you any enemies of late, you're sure a sad sack excuse for a Christian. I get up every morning and look around for my enemies to see if I'm still on the right track. It's a tough trip. But this promise says, the shoes, iron and brass, are tough enough for the trip. You don't wear iron shoes. You know, when I used to try to be a weightlifter, and I'm still grateful to a coach that took me as a sickly and weak eighth grader in elementary school and with a studied weight program, brought health back to me, and I was playing varsity basketball as a freshman. But in those days, you didn't have all the fancy stuff. And to do leg curls, you had iron shoes that you could hook a dumbbell on. And then do your curls with that iron boot and the dumbbells on it. You don't go to bed with those kind of things. But I'm telling you, they not only develop muscles, I could walk on anything except water. Walk on anything. God's word forever settled in heaven recognizes and doesn't kid you about it. It is a tough trip. That's implied by the shoes. But the shoes are tougher than the trip. I've been telling you for 18 years. Cheer up, saints. Going to get worse. The word is going to get worse. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Simple message. I could have said it in a sentence, but I wanted to use up some time. My birthday, you may never gather here again on my 65th birthday. I want to keep you here as long as I can. You've heard it enough times. How many in the 18 years that I've been here have come to church just barely making it in? And at various times over these 18 years, we're absolutely and totally irrevocably convinced you couldn't make it. Another day. What in the hell are you doing here? Proof of the message. Designed to give an attitudinal fix. I don't care how tough it gets. My shoes are tougher. Just keep on walking. That just starts it. That just starts it. Number two. Hey, I'm not preaching to those murals. They're dead. I'm preaching to you. Whatever you're facing today, wherever you are, whom the Lord calleth, he enableth. You're not an accident. God made his choices before the world were formed. And it may look tough, but God's guarantee, he'll take you through. Jesus never said you wouldn't have problems. He just said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. In the problems, you're going to make it. Short and simple, you're going to make it. But more than that, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Tough trip, tough shoes. Thy day, underline thy, as thy day, thy strength. You may try it on occasion, but you have no idea how regular I am putting in my voice bid. The voicemail of heaven has to listen to me at least twice a day, telling him he's got it all wrong. He's got it all wrong. I could do so much, I think, if God would just guarantee me a year instead of a day. Why does God put us in this tension? As thy day, thy strength. Now get the word thy. By analogy, let me tell you again what I've warned you about. When you wake up in the morning and you feel like you can't get your legs out of bed, jump out, man. You ain't going to have a pittance worth of problems for the day. Because as thy day, thy strength. The days you want to worry about are the ones when you wake up and say, whoa, I never felt this good in my whole life. Whoa, whoa, where are you? You walk out the door, kabowdy. You need to pray to wake up sick. Furthermore, get the individuality in another respect. This message around the whole world interrupted. There are things that radio cannot communicate. As thy day. Jesus tried to get the message across. The very hairs of your head are numbered. God sees the sparrow fall. In the midst of the storm, he came walking on the sea. Thou knowest, the psalmist said, O Lord, thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I say, surely this darkness, whatever darkness is facing you today, if I say, surely this darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me, for thou art there. One of the hardest things to understand is this individualized attention that God has promised to give us. In that famous passage, he will not tempt you beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. The Greek has it that whatever the temptation, he has individualized for every temptation the way of escape. When the temptation hits you, fine-tuning attention. He knows, I'm more guilty than any of you, of saying, hey, God, where are you? I've learned, as Isaiah said it, having grown a little bit to where I don't expect God to display himself every moment, truly, thou art a God who hidest thyself. We're too prone to judge God by ourselves. If we're going to deliver somebody, we want them to know we're there before we start to deliver them, so we get the credits. He knows and individualizes. And the promise of those on this tough trip, which it is, and I don't want to just preach a message today, I want it to come where you live. Whatever your problem today, and whatever my problem, tough it surely will be, because we're tougher this year than we were last year. But the shoes are adequate. And the promise is, individual understanding of my day, and as thy day, thy strength. He measures it out. You've heard me say it. If I resign this church at night, it doesn't count. You know that, don't you? Don't quit at the end of the day. Just go to bed. As thy day, thy strength. He measures it out for you. I want you to understand how personal it is. Today, this August 14th, 1994, no change of attention from God for each one of you and everyone listening this worldwide. He knows. And he's measuring the strength out adequate to the day. Day by day, he strengthens, he replenishes. You are going to make it. Nobody ever had a nervous breakdown over today's problem. It's always tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never comes, because when it comes, it's today. And as thy day, thanks be to God, thy strength. Our needs are different. His supply is just that individually different. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The eternal God is thy refuge. This one I have to work at every year. The eternal God thy refuge. The word is unique. In fact, it translates as the God of the forefront, pictorially, to describe it, would be prohibited on TV. It's a very graphic word in the Hebrew. The God of the forefront, who gets there first, the proto, initiating and before all things. Now let me try what I always try and never feel I succeed with everyone listening. Particularly it'll be hard on radio around the world. To try to explain this word, the eternal God, as I... Am I boring you? Better not, it's my birthday party. The eternal God is thy refuge. Now, get in this with me. Hello, wake up everybody. Our mental mind frame is such that what is yet to come, future, that holds all of its mysteries and all of its fears and produces all of our uncertainties, what is future and yet to come is in front of us. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what has already happened passed by is behind us. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, you know in theory, abstract, but I'm quite sure not in felt realization, that there is no time with God. Time's a relative term. So let's come out of our time set and play God. And let time be like a passing parade, okay? Parade's going by. Now, in our view of time, what is yet to come is in front. And what is already gone by is behind. But if you view a parade, what is up front has already gone by. And what is yet to come is behind. Hello? From our frame, what is yet to come is up front. What has gone by is behind. I could do a lot with that. You know, we really do march toward eternity with our ass front forward. Hello. What's up front? Future is yet to come. What's behind history and past? Behind. But as I view the parade, what's up front is past. It's already gone by. And what's behind is the yet to come. Now let's try it again. When you're looking at the parade, what's up front, Rose Bowl parade. What's up front? It's already turned Colorado, and you're sitting there having sat there all night and frozen half to death on Orange Grove. Right? And what's up front? Orange Grove. Colorado. What's up front? It's already turned the corner. What's behind yet to come. I'm sitting here. I'm God. And what's behind is yet to come. What's up front's already passed by. Got that? A whole different view. You get it in your head, folks. Maybe you'll remember it this year. I'm running with my behind. What's yet to come? It's up front. What's yet to come is up front. What's already gone by is behind. Now, that's God's view. What's already gone by is behind. What's yet to come is up front. See, we're looking at it backwards. What's yet to come is behind, or is in front. And what's already gone by? Hey, let's start over. What's yet to come is up front. And what's already happened is behind. Correct? That's behind me. It's what's up front that worries me. What's yet to come? Well, turn it around. If it's a parade, then time is within the parade, and I'm outside the capsule. Then what's up front is already behind. It's already passed. Got it? Well, there's a couple of them got it, so we'll just do it again. It's your fault if this message takes a long time. Tomorrow. Your natural view is tomorrow's in front of you because it's yet to come. And yesterday is behind you because it's already passed. Make a parade out of it. What's already passed is up front. So yesterday is up front. And tomorrow is behind. Got it?
Yes.
The opposite view. What I'm worrying about, from my view, is tomorrow. Right? Don't think worrying about yesterday, it's past. Too late. Yesterday's behind. Tomorrow's up front. But step out of time to God. What's up front is yet to come. Yet to come is tomorrow. From my viewpoint, from God's viewpoint, tomorrow's already passed. Because tomorrow's in front of the parade. And it already went by. Here's the parade. Up front. From my view, up front is yet to come. You with me? From God's view, up front, he's looking at the parade of time, seeing all of it has already passed by. Here's the parade. Here's the viewpoint. Here's God. From the viewpoint, what's up front? My worried life as I'm walking is yet to come. See, we're walking in the parade, what I'm trying to say to you. I'm walking in the parade, and I'm here at Madeline on Orange Grove. I just got tunnel vision. These points are past. Right? And up here, though some have gone before me, Colorado and the turn is still worrying me. Because it's up front to me. Right? But to God, looking at my point on the trip and seeing the whole parade, what is up front to me has already passed to God. You follow it now? He's out here. He sees the whole parade. I'm here wondering, will my... I'm down here. I can just. It looks like an ordinary Christian. I'm down here in this float. Seeing a couple of legs over here and a couple of legs over there. And the headset just past Madeline. Just past Madeline. You think it'll make the turn on Colorado? I don't know. Oh. Does God know? I'm worried about it because it's up front. To God, it's already passed because bigger units than me have gone around that corner. You got it? That's what this word means. The God of the forefront. He's on that corner you're worrying about, which is future to you. It's already passed to Him. You have no time. You're in God's hands. He called you. Sure, it's a tough trip, because we're ambling along, don't see it all. But He gave us tough shoes. Sure, I'm weary day after day. But as thy day, individually applied, thy strength. And the God who sees it all, knows it all, is on the corner, the author and finisher, is my refuge. I'm not the pilot. He knows. He's leading me. Rest in that. The eternal God is thy refuge. As you trust Him, He knows the pitfalls. He knows the route. He's on the corner before you get there. And if that can ever settle in, then you can sing the song, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand, and He is the tomorrow. One more. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Now let me again talk about the Hebrew word. Underneath is another very powerful and graphic pictorial word that stretches the imagination beyond logical sense. Can you comprehend bottomless? Can you try? Whatever bottomless is, stretch your imagination. This word means underneath that. That's stating a paradox that once realized shocks us into an understanding there is no place so low but what He has underneath that, everlasting arms. Now think about it for a moment. A God who's on the corner before we get there, a God with all of His power, if underneath is so far down, it's underneath bottomless, why should God waste time hanging around there with His arms? I mean, when I start the downfall, He who sees me, my goings out and my coming in, He's got the time to get His arms there. But this word makes it clear. Underneath bottomless, arms everlasting. They're all the time. That means we better understand the trips, the calling to a tough journey that follows a different drumbeat than the rest of the world. It has the breath of eternity on it and values that are eternal. But however tough it is, God makes the provision, shoes tough enough for the journey. Day by day, He replenishes with precise individuality of allocation. He is going to give you the strength for your individualized problems. You're going to make it day by day. Before the problem that scares you looms on the horizon, He's already on that corner making provision for you to make it. But should you stumble and falter in your faith and be in free fall today, underneath, no matter how low, never moving, everlasting arms. That's your promise and my promise today. Sermon is just to preach them. I want you to take this message with you today. You can be seated again. It's now general offering time. But I want you to accept the possibility today to live around the world from remote refugee villages in Liberia, to people huddled around shortwave in fear of government forces even finding out they're listening, people who listen on the limited power supplies in Armenia, India, Japan, Australia, every square inch of the world. I want you to consider today that your listening or being here is not an accident, and that this message is yours to claim, take, and live by. You live by this verse. You're unconquerable by the forces of time, and the evil forces arrayed against you in this old earth, so under the control of the evil one. Pick your head up in faith and say, this is my promise. Whether anybody else takes it or not, it's mine. Everybody can say the same thing, because it's every one of you that has the right to make this promise your life. I can tell you, on my 65th birthday, I wasn't just the preacher, I was part of the audience. This is my promise. As I go into another year, don't anybody even think about suggesting retirement to me. I've just begun. No. Gracious Lord, take my hand.